welcome back to the Weekly Pass. We're going to be getting after it with Alex Voss, who is play-by-play for the Kings. You know, MLB All-Star, we've got some picks for the National and American League and a little bit of NBA free agency coming up. Let's get to it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome back to the Weekly Pass. I am Bonnie Jill Laughlin, your host, and I'm here by my fabulous co-host
week. What's up, y'all?
Becky Sotero and David Bloom.
How's
and we've got someone special in
the
house tonight. Alex Voss, who is the play-by-play for the LA Kings. Let's give a round of applause.
Yes, Alex, we have you in studio finally. Kings representing. Yeah.
And I know Becky is super excited, and David.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm pretty excited.
Big King
fans.
So I was telling
Becky, you gotta move your laptop.
I know, so everybody can see.
Because you're decked out in LA Kings stuff.
I know, I am. Okay, you guys, T-shirt, earrings, yes. It's all for my LA Kings.
And she was scared that no one was gonna see her shirt, so I'm glad that
you
mentioned that. And her earrings, because they're being covered.
It's all about the King's shield.
And it's in the heart. It's
right,
in the heart.
Exactly.
She's very proud.
Always.
Well, if you don't know by now, you can check us out on Twitter at BJL Weekly Pass, and then also on our individual Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can find us on. Alex, where can we find you?
Alex_Faust on Twitter. I don't really have any sort of other social media. I have Instagram, but I'm not really on
But for sports, that's all you need is Twitter.
Yes, that's really all.
It's perfect. Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's first get to, how was y'all's weekend, 4th of July? Everyone's weekend was good, safe?
Mine was riveting.
Right. It was 4th of July last week, wasn't it?
It was. It was a long, long holiday weekend.
It was. Wow. No, I had a good one. How about you?
Good.
Summer League,
a little bit. We want to hear all about Summer League. We'll get to that.
I was in Vegas, for Summer League, which was nice to be able to get, you know, I've been going for years since when I was scouting for Lakers, and now to be able a reporter, it was good. I was working for Bleacher Report, and a lot of stuff going on out there, lots of buzz. I mean, Summer League has grown so much. It used to be a time when it was just basically front office executives and scouts. Now it's like fans are flying in from all over the country because, you know, they get the chance to be able to see guys who just got drafted. Plus, all the coaches are there and a lot of the players are there. So it's time for them to kind of, you know, get kind of close to the players that, and the teams that they love.
Well, and we all need that punch of basketball, so we're getting it. If only hockey could have that, please. But, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, we are – as fans, we're getting our fill of basketball this summer while we're waiting for our fall to start.
Right, and it's nice. And it was only like 150 degrees.
Hey, it rained there apparently last night, like
it
monsoon.
Did. Yeah, it was like lightning and everything. When I was there, it was so hot. And people were like, let's go to the pool. I'm like, no, I am so good. I'm not trying to like die.
Yeah, when they remember when they first proposed a hockey team in Las Vegas, they're like, why would you want a team here? But then you realize, all right, it's only that bad during the summer.
Right.
So in the winter, fall, it's fine.
And then it gets freezing. I mean, actually, it snowed before, you know, in Vegas. And speaking of the Golden Knights, let's get right to hockey. What do the Knights need to do, Alex, to, you know, be able to finally maybe win it all? Speaking
what do you
of
mean, finally? This has been year two. Come on. Kings
but
fans
since they got
have 45
this...
years to wait.
Right.
Yeah, Vegas, all there. Oh, they're year two, and they're going to have to wait.
But so many people want to know, can they win all, or is it a fluke season, or inaugural season, or what? I mean, what do you think?
I do get asked that a lot of, you know, what do you think of this Golden Knights team? Was it a fluke? Maybe it was a one-off, but they have a good collection of players, and there's a common thread with the Final Four in hockey in this past year's Stanley Cup playoffs. They all had elite goaltending. You think about Marc-Andre Fleury, Connor Hellebuck with Winnipeg, the Vezina Trophy winner in Pekka Rinne, guy like Braden Holtby in Washington, who had been a pretty good goalie but hadn't achieved much success in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So to answer your question, they've made some interesting moves in the offseason. They're still theoretically in the running for Erik Karlsson, who would bolster their defense. You know, I wouldn't discount them making another run next year because they still have all the pieces. When they drafted all these players, they weren't taking on crazy contracts, and they've been judicious with re-signing guys. Jonathan Marchessault is the only guy that I think signed a really expensive contract, but he was well worth it. I mean, a 30-40 goal scorer.
So were you pulling for the Capitals like Becky as well? I know that
Absolutely.
I had to ask, but I had a feeling all of y'all were against the Knights.
Well, it's not against. I think it's just
Well, it's a win at junior division.
You're looking at you're looking at a franchise. Well, division, but you're just looking at a team too that just has fought so hard and needed that win and that history of that team. Ovi, just interviewing you, Ovi was like next level. He was so
happy. It's what is the July 10th, and Ovechkin is still celebrating.
He is living his best life right now.
It might be surgically attached to his hands now. I think
everyone was rooting for Ovechkin just because you wanted him to be able to get that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
It was two first time storylines.
Well,
it was
Barry
great.
Trotz, too. I mean, he was such an extremely he was such a great coach, and he needed that win. He needed to have that.
Mm-hmm. It was moment. Good. And I know, I mean, look at the Golden Knights and you're like, oh, well, it's their first season. What a great story. Then you're like, yeah, but I'm a Kings fan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is kind of hard to root exactly. for them. It's like if the Ducks were in their inaugural season and they were going to the Stanley Cup Finals, we'd hate that. Mm-hmm. So, like, it was tough. And it was like a battle of the storylines. I was definitely pulling for the Caps, too, because seeing Ovi hoist that cup for the first time.
Yeah, but I have special. To. But I have to say, I know everyone is saying the inaugural season, but let's not forget these are NHL players who have played for a like Marc-Andre exactly. Fleury is one of the best goaltenders right. in the NHL, yep. and he, I mean, no disrespect to the Kings, but he and Quick. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen two goaltenders go yep. so perfectly head to head, but he was just a stone wall. He's an incredible goaltender, so I think. There's a part of me that wants to step out of this inaugural season. Yes, it was Vegas's inaugural season, but these players are at the highest level of their game, and they showed that. They just played well and had great chemistry.
Well, I guess that says about the individual effort versus the team effort.
Yeah.
It's an individual. Yeah. It's no one's not really inaugural season, but it's the team. It's their first yeah. time all being together. It's the first yeah. time for the front office, for the city, for the stadium, for the fans and the atmosphere, yeah. especially you know when we saw in the Stanley Cup Finals, they had that whole show.
Pre-show.
Like the pre-show.
Which Becky didn't like.
She's not a fan.
I think it was very Vegas. So to
it
me,
is very
it, like,
Vegas.
I was like, all right.
I didn't have a problem with it. You know yeah. what? If they right. want to do their thing, if that's their thing, all right. Let them
I mean,
happen.
I just think that it's like get to hockey, but I get it. It's yep. Vegas.
Have
it's
fun. Fun. Have a little bit of Vegas fun.
Sure.
Alex, were you surprised right how the city embraced that hockey team? Because I was actually shocked. I mean, granted, yes, they're going to the finals. Okay, but it seemed like they really had the fan support throughout the whole season.
Early on in the yes. year, I got to do the first home game in Golden Knights history on NBC Sports, and let me tell you, the city itself rallied behind the team not only with the tragedy that happened just about a week and a half prior to that, but also because this is the first pro team that Las Vegas has ever had. And I know the Raiders are moving there, but let me tell you, it's going to be a hockey town. They were first in. I know they use that slogan, Vegas born.
Yeah.
But guess what? It's a team that was established in the city. It's not someone swooping in to this gleaming new stadium just because they want a football team. They wanted this team, and they were able to build it from the ground up.
And the timing was perfect, like you said, having the tragedy and having Vegas strong. And you know, I know. I think it was great for the city.
I think back to 2013. I lived in Boston at the time. And the Red Sox went on that magical run after the marathon bombing in 2013. It kind of had a very similar...
Oh, yeah, I remember David Ortiz was always talking about
very similar relationship between the fans and the team that year in Boston. But, you know, it's kind of circling back to the Kings a little bit and all this. I'm happy that they have another rival. I think this Vegas-LA thing is going to be terrific for hockey in the West. Because, yes, Kings-Ducks is a thing, but it's a thing very much in the Southland. King Sharks was a bit of a rivalry for a while. That's cooled down. But L.A., Vegas, especially with being two glitzy kind of markets, it's great for hockey.
And don't you think that matchup was great for NHL? I mean, they had really high ratings. People wanted to see both the storylines. So I think it was great for hockey.
Yes. They want to see Vegas. There's a lot of intrigue there. But I think especially if the Kings continue to be competitive. And let's not forget, their playoff series with Vegas was so tight. Every game was a one-goal game.
Yeah.
You mentioned Quick and Fleury and how they went after it every single game. You saw world-class goaltending. Outside of the Kings and the Ducks, third fewest goals scored in the opening round, Vegas.
Right.
The Kings held them to that.
Very
get
true.
It. Right. Get it.
It's
just gives me chills.
I know. It's my first playoff series, and I'm thinking back.
You came in at a pretty stellar time. I'll say that.
Now, but Becky was there at the NHL Awards. Were you there as well?
She
was able to kind of see all the awards.
Yeah, the awards,
the players. And
I got to interview Ovi, which was our outlet was one of three on the entire carpet, and I just was looking at him because again, I mean, I'm a hockey fan. I mean, I love my Kings. The Pittsburgh Penguins are actually my East Coast team. But with that said, I respect great hockey. I respect what the Capitals did, how they rallied. And I mean, Ovi was just the epitome of leadership, you know, this season. And I'm just excited to see what he does next season. But with that momentum, how do you think this is going to work next season with Washington now that Barry Trotz is with the Islanders? How do you see that panning out?
We've never seen this dynamic before of a coach that just won a Stanley Cup. His contract was up, and you'd think, oh, it's a no-brainer to extend him. And circumstances were such that it was baked in that he had an extension, but it would severely undervalue his his work with the Capitals. I mean, it was only, I think, a $300,000 pay bump to win the Stanley Cup. That's peanuts in today's NHL. So I think he had every right to walk, and I think he relishes that challenge. Mm-hmm. And he accomplished it with Washington Capitals. Yes, going back-to-back is incredibly difficult, and that would be a challenge unto itself, but think about what he's walking into with the New York Islanders. Yeah. And he has a legend in Lou Lamoriello in the front office that he gets to work with every single day to try to rebuild that franchise and make them competitive again. So it's a dynamic we've never seen. I think it'll be fascinating to see how Washington comes out of the gate. They talk about the Stanley Cup hangover. Mm-hmm. And it's true in a sense because you play so deep into June.
Yeah, it's just like with any sports. A lot of it's hard to go back-to-back.
Right.
People don't realize. Even if you have the same team, it's just hard. And is the momentum there? Do you want? Are you guys hungry? And there's all these questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it'll be interesting to see how they come out, and especially guys like Ovechkin, who this is their summit, right? This is something he's wanted his whole career and has come so close. Well, not really that close. Getting knocked out in the second round or the first round every year, usually at the hands of Pittsburgh. But finally being able to accomplish this goal, how do they come out at the start of next year? It'd be one of the main topics.
I see it being another 09-010 with Detroit and Pittsburgh where they were back-to-back. I think that, I think that we very well could see another Washington Stanley Cup final. However, I'm really feeling optimistic about the Leafs this year. I don't know. I think the Leafs are going to be lethal.
Yeah.
I just think there's a lot happening there. There's a lot of buzz, and obviously Tavares. I don't know. I think it's going to be. David, what do you think?
Oh, my, of course. I mean, Tavares, guys like Austin Matthews. And if you, I mean, if you look, if you remember, a couple years back, like the Leafs, they weren't really much. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a lot, and they started to acquire these young guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they had, like, it was kind of this, like, young guy thing. It's been a lot, like Sidney Crosby's done it, like Connor McDavid's been this kind of young guy who's done really good, and then a guy like Austin Matthews who came in, did great. I actually got to see him. I didn't go to a lot of Kings games, but I got to see him live when the All-Star game was here. I got to see him.
He's the real deal.
Mm-hmm. He's
real
deal.
Good. He and Tavares together are going to be interesting. This all goes back to Brendan Shanahan about 5 years ago in Toronto, and they decided we're going to tear this down. And they stockpile draft picks, one of which would be Austin Matthews.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
They have a whole bunch of guys on this roster that have just been picked up through the draft. The only thing, and this goes back to something I said earlier, remember the Final Four, all elite goaltending. Freddie Anderson, do you consider him an elite goaltender? I don't know if you say that today, but can they make up for it by having all these superstar goal scorers on this roster? That's the real challenge in Toronto. So, to your point, I think they're going to be fun to watch. I don't know if I'm sold yet.
Really?
Toronto.
Not completely
not
sold?
Yet.
So
not
who
yet.
Else? Who else besides, you know, the Caps, the Knights, Maple Leafs?
Yeah,
I guess
give us the your East and West contenders next season.
What's it going to be next
year? Well, you know, it's funny. I was looking at odds, you know, odds makers and what they thought for next year, and it's really a jumbled mess. Because you have the situation in Washington, you lose your coach from a Stanley Cup run. Mm-hmm. How will they fare after winning it the first time and, you know, kind of resetting after going those extra
Can
2 months?
Can Ovi take the pressure of the leadership because it's going to fall on him?
Exactly. So you have that. You have the situation in Toronto with a couple of superstars. But you have teams that don't necessarily have the full complement of stars. I think the Nashville Predators are always tough.
Yeah. Of course.
Best blue line in the league. They're, they're the deepest defensive team in the league. They can stack up, I'd say, their top six forwards with any team, and they have the Vezina Trophy winner, the best goaltender in the league in Pekka. So I would pick them probably near the top of my list. Toronto, just because of the firepower they have up front. It's the same challenge, or similar challenge, I should say, that Edmonton faced last year. I think everyone was hyping the Edmonton Oilers because of Connor McDavid, because of Leon Draisaitl, and all the firepower they had up front. But everybody forgot that they didn't have great defense, and they didn't have established goaltending. And
which we know is the death of hockey, especially in the playoffs. If you don't have a good goaltender or defense, you're done.
You can't win with defense alone, but you need to have that as a foundation to go forward. And that's kind of where the Kings are at right now is, yes, their defense is always going to be strong. It's can they get the goal scoring to get there. So they will not win with defense alone, the Kings, but they, you know, they need to add a few more.
What were the odds in Vegas then right now?
I don't remember off the top of my head, but it was not like there's a runaway favorite. You know, I think the Leafs were something like 6-1 to win the cup. There was not a runaway favorite at this point. It's, you know, middle of summer, so who the heck knows?
Go more into the future of the Kings. What do they need to do to get back in there and to get back to a Stanley Cup?
Goal scoring. Number one thing's been goal scoring. And we saw it in the playoffs.
Yeah,
you know, you get swept and you only score 3 goals in a 4-game series.
That was depressing.
You know, and Rob Blake, to his credit, the first thing that he said when he was asked in kind of the post-series press conference was, how do we score more goals? How do we get faster? How do we get more skilled? But ultimately, how do we score more goals? They did that by adding Ilya Kovalchuk.
Yeah, they did.
That is not a long-term solution by any means, but I think they've identified a window in the next 3 years where they're going to go for it. They have this established core on this team with Toffoli, Pearson, Kopitar, Brown up front, Drew Doughty on the back end, who was signed to an extension. Mm-hmm. So they have this core group that they feel confident in and they want to stick with, but they have to add at the fringes. The Kings don't have enough money to get a guy like John Tavares. They're up against it with the salary cap. And unlike the NBA, it is a hard cap. You cannot go above the salary cap.
Yeah, we have the luxury tax. That we
Exactly. So you, totally have the, you have the luxury of being added $134 million.
And the owners that will pay that because they don't care. Of course. Like the Warriors. Yeah.
Exactly. So the Kings are in that position of, can we nibble at the fringes and get a guy who could chip in 20 goals? Or can we get a guy that chips in another 15 as a depth guy in addition to having Andrzej Kopitar with an MVP kind of year again. Dustin Brown with another 25-goal year again. Tyler Toffoli, for as quiet a season as it seemed like he still wound up with 25 goals.
I mean, they had one of their best franchise history starts of the season, which is why I think the playoffs, all of us, literally the oxygen was taken out of our bodies because we saw the Kings at the beginning of the season. We also know how different things can happen with injuries and whatnot and the chemistry of the players, but I did not see that coming. They're such a strong playoff team.
Yeah. I mean, they really are. I mean, you go back to series where they were down, you know, in 2012.
Down.
Notorious.
Yeah, always
exactly.
always coming back.
Never make it
always.
Easy.
They, I mean, they won the cup twice, 12-14. Right. And then now they get back to the playoffs. And I know they missed it. I think, what was it, like last year they missed it?
They missed it last year,
which
was
really
tough. This was item number one, though. They wanted to get back to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They ticked that box. Item number one.
Yeah.
They didn't win a game in the playoffs. No. So that's why you're left with that disappointing feeling. Mm-hmm. All right, if you win one or two, and I'll go back one game in the series, really the turning point in the series, game two, double overtime in Vegas. They don't have Drew Doughty, who's suspended for that game.
Yep.
If they win that game in double overtime, I swear that series is going seven games.
Yeah.
Then you never know, right? You never know.
In a game seven, you never know.
But that's why we love hockey so much, is the unpredictability. And it comes down to, again, Drew Doughty making one thing happening, one mistake, and you just...
And it's... it's good. And it's good that they're making the playoffs, because you can win as an AC.
Oh, yeah.
I think they've shown that.
They have done that before. Yeah. And it's March Madness. If you get into the Stanley Cup playoffs, you have a
clean
chance.
Slate.
It's much different than basketball. Yes. If you get in as an AC like the T-Wolves did this year, you're not beating a team like the Rockets.
Part of that is playoff. I know you guys are going to be talking basketball in a bit, but is there still that momentum to get a 1-16 in the NBA because of the balances in the conference? Hockey tried to approach this and change up their playoff format. They used to be 1-8.
Yeah, no, they did.
2012, Kings, Canucks, that huge upset that the Kings had as the 8 seed.
Mm-hmm.
But that format has since changed. Mm-hmm. So you don't always get an 8-1 in hockey. And I know there's been discussion in basketball of how do we tackle this competitive balance.
There's been a lot of discussion, since like LeBron came to the West and now Boogie's on the Warriors. And they're like, okay, the West is so overpowered and the East doesn't really have anyone. You feel like LeBron was doing it. Now you feel like the Celtics are just going to run through that East. Mm-hmm. There's been like a lot of talks, especially in like the community and like the fans. But
they're not going to change it.
You're right. They're not going to change it.
I'm on the inside knowing they're not going to change it.
It's too much. It's too big of a. I mean, they have the history. They're not going to change it. Mm-hmm. They're really not going to change it.
That's why if you're an 8 seed and you can upset a number one seed, you're on your
then
way.
Go yeah, you.
I'm not going to lie.
You look at the Pacers. The Pacers
like
almost
format.
They
beat
really
the Cavs.
Came close.
Yeah.
I mean, the
that was a number one seed, but just saying that to show that a team that
the Cavs,
was underdog.
They were a 4, but they were like the most 1-4 I've ever seen ever. They swept the 1. So,
Alex, are you an NBA fan at all? Lakers fan, Clipper fan?
Not huge. I'll watch during the postseason, but it's awfully hard during our season when there's an overlap to keep touching. I think this year, everyone in LA, even if you're a casual fan, and I would consider myself the most casual, LA sports fan, being a transplant here.
Yeah.
But I'll watch a bunch more Laker games this year than I would last year, just because of the star power.
Sure.
How could you not be drawn?
It was interesting because I think Bailey, from the Kings mascot, do you see what he put out on? Well, because they put this big picture, I don't know if you saw it, Becky, Alex probably saw it, of LeBron and then saying, LA's best,
the
and
King.
Then they forgot the Kings.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that, right?
And
the Ducks. They show the Angels, which people are upset because they're like, they're Anaheim. They're not really L.A.
I've heard that too
much. They started in L.A.
They did, but now people are still like, okay, it's SoCal. Like, it's more of the Orange County.
Yeah.
Anyways, but they put the Angels in there. They put the Dodgers in there. They put, the Lakers and Clippers and the Rams and even the Chargers. And then they did not I thought that was kind of like it's
disgusting. Like hockey is always
I retweeted
overlooked. It just feels like it's such
kind of ridiculous.
100. Oh, I mean, you're asking the wrong person. Yeah. I'm like, oh.
Alex, didn't you think it? I thought it was ridiculous. Yeah, I was like, wow, they just totally forgot about the
Kings. I mean, that's the thing is it's just such a dominated.
And
you
they've got a great fan base.
Yes,
they really do.
Incredibly loyal. Ooh,
very loyal. Oh, very loud. Very. I mean, so and they're knowledgeable in hockey. I was shocked that they did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit, but you know what? Hockey always gets overlooked. And I think what hockey people, and I'm speaking just for myself.
You mean
myself,
just more on the West Coast they do, or just in LA you think?
In general,
just,
outside of Canada.
Outside
of Canada, maybe New York and maybe Boston.
Right.
Yeah. Chicago. Other than that, I mean, hockey gets overlooked. And it's, I think from a hockey standpoint, mm-hmm. we have to be okay with who we are, right? We are not the most popular sport in America. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay being the fourth most popular sport in the United States. You're not going to surpass baseball tomorrow. You're not going to surpass basketball or football. You're not going to. It's okay mm-hmm. being comfortable in your own skin like that. But when you're talking about all the teams in one city, you might want to include the one that's won two championships.
Right. Yeah,
I think the two most recent championships of any team in this city, if I'm not mistaken.
No, you're correct.
That's why I was kind of surprised they did that. I was shocked.
Yeah, I'm going to keep my lips sealed because I can say some mean things, but I'm glad Bailey brought it up. If there's any mascot that's feisty, it's our
lion. He's hilarious. Yeah, yeah, and the Kings Twitter guy, I don't know who it is, he battles with the Sharks.
Oh, they're witty. We have one of the
They say really funny
stuff. We have one of the ballsiest social media
platforms. There's times where I go, oh gosh, I wonder if he's, if he's going to get in trouble for that. You know, like in the NBA, you couldn't say certain things that.
No.
NHL, they have a little more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A little
more wiggle.
I guess we
get
that wiggle room when we're fourth in the country. I mean, but there's
hockey is a little more edgier. So
I agree with you. I mean, the fan base is so dedicated. And that's all that matters. Yeah. I mean, we're never going to surpass the NBA, NFL, mm-hmm. but the fan base and the sport.
I just thought, I mean, you're going to mention the Clippers, but you're not going to mention the Kings. Sorry, David. Yeah, the Clippers. Exactly. Yeah. I'm just saying when you talk about championships and stuff and
that again. Sorry. I'm a Clippers fan.
It's okay. I didn't want to be mean. I'm not insulting anybody.
And I like to poke at him, Alex, about being a Clippers fan.
I was mean
fan,
to them for
but
7 years.
But he's loyal. I love it.
Mean to
if you're loyal and you go through thick and thin, then I have respect for you. No. But I'm still going to poke at you.
Yeah, we've been through the absolute
worst. Y'all need to move
worst.
To Seattle. So.
Oh, man.
That one hurts. Because it's possible.
No, Ballmer is going to bring them probably to Seattle at some point. And then if you stay loyal to them when they move to
Seattle,
and they're the Sonics, then yeah.
They become the
Sonics. No more Clippers. Oh,
they're the Super Sonics.
Are they going to pull a Charlotte Hornets like when the Hornets took on the old Charlotte, like the Bobcats took on the old?
Awful.
I've been a Clippers fan for I think I'm
17. All your life, which is so
I know. I know.
Yeah, I'm 17 years old. I've been a Clipper fan for about the same amount of time. Yeah. We used to go to games. Excuse me. We used to go to games and we'd sit real close, and the big guys like Elton Brand and Corey Maggette and Sean Livingston on the floor.
They had a great team.
They had a decent team, and every loyal Clippers fan knows the Sean Livingston injury.
Yes.
Elton Brand was really good, but he couldn't get us far enough, and the team just, we never drafted the right guys. I mean, when we drafted Michael Olowokandi, I could go on forever, mm-hmm. but it's just kind of been a hard franchise.
Do you see how he's a little bitter? Do you see how
I'm really bitter. there's some salt.
That's a little bit like, I'm from New York originally, a little bit like Mets fans.
No, I know.
Yeah. With the Yankees,
a little bit in the shadow.
We're kind of like Mets fans. Clippers fans, we're very similar to Mets fans.
I mean, I worked for the Clippers. I have respect for them, but I just think they're always going to be
redheaded stepchild.
However, that's why it's even more of an insult that we were not included.
Yeah. That's what I just said. Completely.
Situation. And they keep calling LeBron the king, and it's like, so the king is not obviously far from their brain.
You know, it would be great. If you're watching LeBron, you could have a Kings jersey on and it would fit the profile really
They're already talking statue in front of Staples Center. I can't. Right. I can't with this.
Right.
Win a championship. I know. They're already talking about a statue.
I think Luke Robitaille might have something to say about that. Or Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
I mean, if he got... Yeah. I'm just saying.
I don't like LeBron. I'm like the ass down.
No,
I'm
she
the
does
biggest,
not.
Like,
she's very.
Yeah, I'm a hater.
But if he got, I understand he's one of the best athletes. But if he got in front of Staples Center a statue, even before Jonathan Quick, who's one of the best goaltenders in the league,
they can do that in the Quick Alone Center in Cleveland.
Yeah,
I don't want it.
He deserves
in LA.
A statue, but he deserves a statue in Cleveland.
But in Cleveland, I don't want it in LA. Yeah.
No.
I mean, if he wins a championship, maybe we'll talk then. But let's see.
No, not even. He hasn't been here long.
I don't think so either.
Hasn't done enough. I mean, no. He hasn't played a single game, but I don't think he's going to be able to do enough in his time and his career to get a statue.
No. God, we have too many statues in front of Staples Center. Have you seen how many statues we have? It's like out of control. Oscar De La Hoya's there. Like, everyone's there. Like, no, we don't.
You go to Staples Center, oh, meet by the statues. Like, that's how it works.
Yeah, you
by
do.
The way, the Kings have three. So let's just put that out there. We have Robitaille, we have Gretzky, and we have the main team one. Mm-hmm. And then Bob Miller. So four.
That's right.
Yeah. Four.
Where is the Stanley Cup right now? Who has it?
I think it's in Russia right now. Ovechkin.
Oh, is it?
It's either in Russia or coming back from Russia.
He keeps it for a while, huh?
He is living his best life with that cup.
How long does he keep it? Does he usually get one day with a cup? That's what I thought, but how long does he...
Well, he was officially awarded two, he told me, the NHL awards, but I think it's just expanding because of the World Cup.
I have a feeling it's back in the States now, but it was definitely there for Russia's quarterfinal.
Yeah.
It was at the Fan Fest at the World Cup, and he brought it... Apparently, it's reading on NHL.com, he brought it to
a
karaoke bar in Moscow for the Russia-Croatia quarterfinal, which, of course, is this crazy... I can only imagine what the scene was like there with the cup.
Love that, though. What perfect timing with the World Cup there, too.
Oh,
there's a video of him. I should have sent that so I could show everybody. But there's a video of him getting, this cake. And it's literally, a six-tier cake with, him as tall as my mic, holding, hoisting the cup. And they bring this cake out to him. And he and his wife are like, what is... I mean, it was the largest cake, I think, ever. Ever made.
That's one thing that's so neat about hockey, though, is I think that each guy gets the cup and what they... I mean, I just think it's kind of cool.
It's only one trophy.
Yeah.
Only one trophy. You don't get a new one made every year. It's the same one, for the most part, passed down from team to team.
That's what I love. What's the craziest story you've heard that someone's done with the cup?
Oh, I've heard some
PG.
stories.
PG ones. Safer word.
I want to hear the dirty ones.
Well, you know what? There have been some... I'll say this. If you ask Patrick O'Neill, our pre- and post-game host at Fox Sports West, he will tell you some epic stories of the 1994 New York Rangers Stanley Cup run, because he lived in New York at the time and knew some of the guys from that team. Let's just say it wound up in the back of a cab at 7 o'clock in the morning with Mark Messier after a drunken stupor that night.
Okay. So there's something
stuck. People have done so many things with the Stanley Cup. I think if you just Google Stanley Cup stories or Stanley Cup destroyed or something like
that. I bet you there's some they can't really talk about that are more of the...
Dropped in lakes and... You know, knocked over and scratched and dinged.
Oh my
God. Everything's imaginable, but they do a phenomenal job.
I'm not going to lie.
And it's actually heavy. I'm good friends with Chris Chelios. Yeah. And so when Chelly had it, he had it at his house in Malibu. And I was like, oh, wow. And I picked it up it's actually super heavy. I need help a little bit.
It's very heavy. And
35 pounds.
Yeah.
In 2012, because of the lockout, we had so much more time with it. And I remember being at Fox Studios in their prop house. And my other ice cream member and I were sitting there, and it was literally just sitting next to us, and the case was there, and we're like, we really want to crawl in that case, because, it's where the Stanley Cup. So we crawled in the case, and I remember laying in there, and I was looking at the cup, and I'm like, the Stanley Cup is sitting 2 feet from me. I'm laying in the case. Life is good, but you look at this cup, and you're like, the places it's been in this world. But also, that night, we were in the San Manuel, 2012, in the big party, and they were passing it around. We got to drink out of it. I remember the next morning being like, ooh, I better have some vitamin C, because I don't know
what else has been in there.
Here's a story. So last year, the Kings had two off days in February, and I went to Northeastern University in Boston, and they play in this big tournament in Boston, a college hockey team called the Beanpot. And I figure, all right, I may not be able to go again. And they hadn't won this tournament 30 years. Yeah. It's a four-team tournament, same four teams every year. You only play two games to win the tournament. In theory, they should have won, but they hadn't. So I'm thinking, I could probably go to the game. And I just decide, I've got a couple off days. And I scurry away, don't really tell that many people. So I'm in Boston. They win the Beanpot. And I'm with all these friends that I went to college with. And, of course, instead of, it's a hockey trophy. So instead of being put right in the trophy case, it goes to the pub right after the game. And we're there till 2 o'clock in the morning, and everybody's drinking out of the Beanpot. Now, I have a game to call the next day in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm thinking, it's probably not a great idea to drink out of it. So I didn't get to do that. But that's the same kind of thing.
And really, because you were scared you were going to get, herpes or something?
I didn't. I had no idea what was going on at this dive bar at 2 o'clock in the morning in Boston.
That night,
I
was
not want to touch it.
I'm giving it all. I don't care if I die.
I kind of had a
I'm
going
to Google that now. I do want to see some of the other stories. But I'm sure the ones that are the real good ones aren't on the internet. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Mike Bolt at Phil when they were touring with it, they had some stories. Because they're not really technically allowed to leave it.
Yeah,
let their eyes off it.
Part of the reason why they have these guys in the first place is because of the mid-90s, and I think the Rangers were partially responsible for this, of why they have a full-time keeper of the cup now, because of how it almost got
destroyed. It's literally like a security guard of the cup.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
And it almost got destroyed then.
It's been almost destroyed on many occasions. it's incredible.
Oh, it's great.
So good.
You know what I want to ask Alex, too, because I don't know if you haven't prepared. I want to do some of those fun...
This or that?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Boy. But before, I want to do... I don't know if we have music, but I have Faust Facts. Dun, dun, dun. So I want the world to know what this... You're 29 now, right?
29, yeah.
God, you're a
baby. 29 years old. And everyone to hear this. Okay. Called hockey games for NBCSN, NESN, Westwood One, LA Kings, Fox Sports West, 2013-15 radio broadcaster for the AHL.
There's our music.
He called the first game in franchise history for the Utica Comets. Do I have that right? Yeah. Love it. Served inside the glass reporter for the 2015 AHL All-Star Game, calling games for the Calder Cup Finals, college b-ball, football, and a radio commentator for the minor league baseball, and a 2011 Jim Nance Award recipient, which is,
that's huge.
You should know, collegiate level broadcaster award. I can't, Alex.
You have such an extensive resume. It's great.
I mean, I know that was a lot, and there's, I'm sure, a lot more, but just how? And also, I want to know what it was like to get that call from the Kings,
because you're
filling in one of the most legendary roles, that is Bob Miller.
Yeah.
You're filling his spot. And by the way, nobody's comparing, which is kind of awesome, too, because you're totally your own person. It's not like they brought in
somebody. There's so much pressure with that.
Yeah. I listened to you, and we talked about this before the beginning of the show, is that I know you. I feel like I know you because I hear you every single game and watch you, watch the games, but... How did this happen? What was what was your mind like? And I know your fiance was away for the first year.
Yeah, where do we start on this? My broadcasting career has been one great opportunity after the other that just happened to fall into place at the right time. Mm-hmm. I got chances to work with ESPN at a regional level, mm-hmm. with Fox Sports at a regional level, and that then, all right, he made that work. All right, we'll try out in some college basketball, college football. And I didn't screw up too badly on any of those, so I kept getting more opportunities. The college hockey with Nesson, that's kind of where I got my start on TV.
Yeah.
So that was my background, was calling college hockey in New England. But I got an opportunity to do an NHL game on NBCSN last year. Mm-hmm. It was actually March 2017. Mm-hmm. I had not applied yet for the Kings job when I got this opportunity to do the game. And then found myself in LA the week prior, because I got an opportunity to do an audition for a gig at Tennis Channel. All right, so I'm in L.A. I know the Kings have an opening. All right, why did I, I know some of the guys at Fox Sports. What the heck?
Throw your name in there,
exactly, throw my name in there. And sure enough, they said, we'll watch your game that following Monday. So, all right, this is my first
NHL game. It's your audition, yes.
And I know it's my audition.
And that's the worst. Now that you know it's your audition,
gosh. The nerves are just crazy, but... Again, fortuitous timing. Winds up being this bonkers overtime game, back and forth, 5-4. Mm-hmm. I nail the call. I knew I nailed the call. Mm-hmm. And as a broadcaster, you're always worried about, all right, am I going to do the right thing at the right moment?
Sure, right, sure.
And as humble as I want to be of, being right place, right time, you still have to take advantage. And I was so lucky that I got that game to call.
And that was it? And then you got...
And that was, shortly thereafter, I got called in for an interview and an audition and... the wheels started turning shortly thereafter. But I met Jim Fox when we did our audition here in L.A. in late May of last year, and we hit it off right away. We were calling this old game off of a TV monitor that I had prepared for, just like I was calling a game was new and live right in front of me. But we hit it off right then.
And that's
there.
So important. I mean, the chemistry has to be there with
right.
the, you.
Know, well, unless,
with your color guy.
Let's remind people, too, 31 teams, mm-hmm. about 20 active rosters, players. You have to know just about everything you can and be prepared going into it. So what is research like for that? And people should know, too, you work in the office as well. You do analytics, correct? So you're not just calling the game. You're trying to put your work in outside of it.
A little bit. Those projects are kind of, it's very, hands-off with anything super important. But, kind of the preparation starts with getting every single player, their background, their backstory, their history. And the first year was super challenging because this, 28 teams I had seen for the first time. So getting all those names down. Now, next year, I will have seen a lot of these guys, and I could dive a little bit deeper than I would have been my first year. But it's a lot of work. And I think what folks don't realize with with hockey especially, and similarly with basketball, is you're on to the next game. You're on to the next city. You're on a road trip. It's a seven-game road trip, which doesn't seem like much. That's seven different cities.
Yep.
Seven different teams. Yep. So you're constantly just refreshing your work. And it's a seven-day week from late September through whenever your playoff or regular season ends. It's a seven-day week.
Right.
People don't realize the sports, you know, with holidays, it doesn't matter. Yeah. We work through holidays.
But it's never on holidays. Right. Never work.
Well, and you don't.
Work with a capital W? No. This is fun.
It's fun. Well, so you've called baseball, basketball, football, hockey. Now, obviously, we know hockey is so fast. Would you say it's the hardest play-by-play you've called?
I think the most challenging, yeah. Baseball is just as challenging in the sense
that it's so slow and you have to.
Slow. But when something happens, you have to pick it up immediately, and you have to be precise.
Right.
You have to have the right call at the right moment. I think what Joe Davis does with the Dodgers is impeccable because he never puts a foot wrong, right? He has the right call at the right moment every time. And that's hard to do when there's a mundane baseball game going on 3 hours.
That's what I loved about Vince Scully, though. He would bring up stories. I mean, he would bring up stories about every single player. And I'm a Giants fan, so I hate the Dodgers. The only thing I like about the Dodgers is Vince Scully. Mm-hmm. But I love the fact that he would bring up these stories that made it entertaining because he was a one-man show. Yeah. So,
well, that's what Doc Emmerich does, which I know is one of your mentors. And Doc, I mean, he's somebody you look up to. Yeah. He's so good at that. So how are you going to do that as you go into these years creating your own?
It's a challenge. It's a real challenge.
Creativity.
Because you want to have your own style.
Style.
You want to have your own voice. And I think in hockey there is a huge balance to be had because it's nonstop action. So you can only tell so many stories in the run of play. And I'm guilty of trying to show off these players and these great stories. All the while we've got action going on. Yeah. So there is a balance to be had. But
you guys had a great blend, you and Jim.
I appreciate it.
So good.
Appreciate it.
So NBA, we're going to get in a little bit of NBA, Alex, and you probably know something.
And then we'll do this or that.
So LeBron officially signed with the Lakers.
Mm-hmm. He did.
So they made a big deal about that. And then Tyga, the rapper, I guess he has the first LeBron James jersey that was made for him.
Only in LA.
Yeah, right. So he is here. And interesting, when I was at Summer League, I'm good friends with Teron Liu, who is, the former LeBron coach, who's the coach of the Cavs, and he was actually going to be meeting with Luke to kind of hand off the torch of this is how
what's that
going to
be like,
LeBron.
Yeah.
And it's funny because Ty tried to tell me, no, he's not that hard to coach and he's easy, and I'm like, he almost put you in the hospital. What do you mean?
Can you talk about that though? How was that going to be for the pressure of Luke this season?
It's funny, and I ran into Luke in the mall, and I'm like, Luke, I'm like, you've got to deal with LeBron and LeVar Ball, and just being LA, it's like another circus. And we start laughing, and he's just like, and I kept talking. He goes, BJ, you are not helping me at all. He's like, you're actually giving me anxiety. I got to go take a nap. I'm like, no, I'm just telling you, you're going to be coughing up blood. Just get used to it all season.
And the demands of the city and the fans. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's like, Luke Walton is so even keel and cool guy. And,
amazing.
But it's crazy because he actually was drafted the same year, 2003, as LeBron, but in the second round. So you wonder about the respect is what I, kind of wonder and to see, because I think he's going to have more respect for Brian Shaw, who is the assistant head coach, than for actually Luke. So it's going to be tough for Luke. So
of the few things, though, that I know about LeBron James, I know that he is a student of the game.
Yes.
He eats, lives, sleeps, breathes.
He is. He's just like how Kobe was, a gym rat.
And studying the game. I mean, I
knows
know that,
the history, everything.
Right,
he's
one of the smartest.
That project,
really.
Kobe Bryant has been working on this detail project. I'm sure LeBron probably does something on his own like this to just study game film and pour over it. It's going to be an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all comes together. But Luke was like, it's a lot. He goes, it's crazy. He goes, I don't know LeBron. He goes, at all. He's like, so this will be interesting. And there's been a lot of talk that, before he signed with the Lakers, he told Jeannie Buss that he didn't want Luke as his head coach. Mm-hmm. So when you already hear that, then you're like, it's a lot of pressure. So we'll see.
I do have the dynamic, which
I love Luke, so I hope,
The one thing I'm kind of looking forward to as a fan, as someone who could appreciate drama, is the dynamic of LeVar and LeBron.
Right, that's the first thing,
that's a huge dynamic. LeVar was so, in the ear of the Lakers, my son's the best, play
remember,
my son.
And he doesn't like Luke.
Mm-mm. And when the Lakers announced, maybe no one's off the table, so maybe Lonzo could be traded, he's like, that would be the dumbest move in Lakers history. Which, no, it wouldn't. Lonzo Ball isn't that good, but in LeVar's eyes, he's just amazing. He's an overly proud dad, which, there are a lot. And him dealing with,
And remember,
with LeBron,
LeVar said that his son, Lonzo, can make LeBron better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On LeVar Ball News, Lonzo Ball makes LeBron James better. Right. I mean, that's just kind of, that's the story. That's the only story.
And that's like the circus. Like,
you know
that's
who I'm really happy for? Billy Mack.
I love Billy Mack. I know. So happy. It's so funny. Billy Mack. Texted him and I'm like, I'm so happy we finally can like call a game where it's going to be like exciting and, you know.
Right?
Yeah.
So
it's been tough.
That's Stu Lance and that whole crew. There are a lot of great
guys.
People who work on that crew.
Really great guys. Other news is Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
How funny. Because remember we talked about that?
We literally talked about it.
And I said he's not going to be with the Thunder. And now the team that's going after him is the Rockets. And also he wants to go to LA. So we'll see.
Rockets it's all the way. Happens, and he's friends with Chris Paul. Like, they're not, it's a low risk for them. I think
Carmelo's a cancer, though. So wherever
he really
he goes,
is. I mean, it's like. The Lakers and the Rockets have been looking to get Carmelo. And my hearts go out to all Lakers fans and all Rockets fans in this trying time. He's really, if you look at the Thunder last year, they kind of put this super team together. And I really think Russ and Paul George can work together.
They play better without Carmelo.
But the reason why they can never get past, they didn't get past the Jazz, and the reason why they can never do as good as people thought they would do is because of Carmelo.
Yeah,
it's not because
exactly.
of other teams. It's because of what they have. He tore down the Knicks. It's not like he's not on the Nuggets anymore. I know he's back in the West, but it's not Denver. It's Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And you can't just chuck up shots when you're his age. You're not LeBron. And he just takes low percentage shots. He doesn't. He like tears down half court.
I mean, but we know that Harden and Paul will have the ball most of the game anyway, so he'll just be there.
Yeah, if he goes to the Rockets, Chris Paul really likes him. Yeah. I mean,
he does. I don't want him here in LA.
No.
You know, Kawhi is who I hope the Lakers can get. And probably not going to happen this season, as we know that Pop is still trying to keep him. The Lakers, you know, they want the Spurs want so much from the Lakers, and
it's
they're
Kawhi
not willing
Leonard.
To give him that. And so I think it's going to happen
next
season.
And
yeah,
that's going to be quite the summer. 200. I read 200 people are going to be, or athletes are going to be. Available. Like, that's bananas, you
Big
guys.
Names that are Kawhi and then Klay Thompson. But yeah, so that's, and then your Clippers, you guys signed, are you excited about Mbe?
Luke?
Yeah, are you excited about him?
Yeah,
hell yeah. We're waiting for you to like jump out of your seat. That's something.
Luke Bamute, hell yeah.
Yeah.
He's just signed a 1-year deal. I mean,
for Clippers fans. Yeah, 4.3 million for 1-year deal.
Luke Bamute has kind of been like a journeyman in the NBA, and he came to the Clippers.
These are small free agency moves.
Really small. For a little stint, he was played amazing defense. We really loved him here. He went to Houston. I wish him the best of luck. Now he's back. I think he spent like two years with Houston. He's back. We love him in Clippertown. Luke, he's the best.
I had to throw you a bone.
Thank you.
So
I really wish they would sign Montrezl Harrell back.
Another player that's on a 1-year deal making 2019 interesting. There's going to be so much.
And then in the MLB, the All-Star teams were revealed yesterday for the American League and the National League. And obviously the big names are Harper being actually in D.C. So that's
really cool. Hometown.
That's a big move. And then Trout here in he's always big in the American League.
He makes it every year, though.
That's what everyone's kind of excited about. And then if you wanted to stay with L.A. is Matt Kemp made it for the Dodgers, which is crazy because some people weren't even sure if Matt was going to be able to even was even going to make the team, and now he's actually an All-Star.
That's amazing.
He's been killing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been doing really good. He's had a really nice turnaround season. He went to the Braves, and it wasn't really anything, and he's kind of bounced around, but he came back to the Dodgers, and I mean, I don't have anything against the Dodgers. I'm more of an Angels fan, but I pay attention to Dodgers baseball. They're here, and he's just been having himself a nice season. I know the Dodgers have had their injuries, but
his average is ridiculous. He's been consistent all year, and he's also hitting for power too.
So. He really is. Like
and this is coming from a Giants fan, so I'm giving Maddie
some that's love. A lot. Yeah. More than an Angels fan, that's a Giants.
But we've
fan
got
right
the starting shortstop, Brandon Crawford.
And I'm still looking.
How about a name here that needs to be voted in?
Yeah.
Max Muncy.
Oh my gosh, they were actually
tearing it up.
They were talking about a lot of the snubs.
Yeah. Well, and then wasn't Snell? I read that Blake Snell from Tampa Bay was a big snub. People were talking about how do you get
there, there was a lot of snubs.
There's a lot, and we got. I mean, if you're looking at LA guys, you got Angelton Simmons on the final vote in the AL too. So I mean, as
for
an Angels
who
fan,
don't know who votes,
and there's there's a lot of reserves as well that people are saying, you know, they shouldn't have made
it.
It's
how it is every year, though.
It's how it is. But
for MLB,
and they want every team represented, by the way, too. That's so it's a little bit like political. They want every team to make sure that they have a face there.
You remember when you had the really good teams? I know two specifically, the Royals and the Cubs. When the starting lineup for the AL was almost all Royals, and then like a year or two later, the starting lineup for the NL was almost all Cubs,
right?
Which was crazy. And it's not really like that this year. And I'm like, I'm happy about it.
I actually like it because it is a lot of
I'm really happy
guys
about
from
it.
All over. Right. And I'll actually be there. I leave for D.C. on Sunday. That's why I'll miss you guys. But I'll be there covering it for T-Mobile, actually.
Well, so really quick, though, for people who are asking, who votes? So how does the All-Star vote work in MLB?
Well, it's just like any other All-Star game. You know, you've got, like, the players and the coaches and, the media. And then also they have the fan vote. So that's why they always say that a lot of fans will stuff the ballots. And they know how to, like, for one time they said the Giants knew how to do it because it's the whole techie world, that they knew how to kind of like go through the computer and like one guy could vote like 100 times and so they always say that, but you never know at the end of the day like who's actually
they used to have them on pen and paper.
I feel like the league can pick who they really want.
There's always some kind of conspiracy. I in my opinion somebody's always got something to say.
I like their picks though, usually for the starting lineup, like they never disappoint me too much, and when they spread it out around the teams, like I've been saying, like it's usually makes for last year was an amazing one, but it usually makes for a good game.
Yeah. And now that it is, that break where a lot of the teams, need, some time to heal and to get, kind of rejuvenated. So it's a good time for
Midsummer Classic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's good to see. Before we go, I want to make sure that we do this with Alex. So people can kind of get to know Alex a little better.
I don't think I am, but we're going to do it anyway.
It's super scary, too.
Dun, dun, dun. Blondes or brunettes? I'm just kidding. You're taken. He's taken, ladies. Slow down. Okay. You guys, we're going to play this or that. We don't have music yet for this, but
so some good ones, Becky. No softball.
I know. I'm going to rapid fire questions. You're going to say this or that. Okay.
All right.
Here we go.
Ready?
It's a spelling for you.
Okay. LeBron or Kobe?
In what context? All right. Fine. LeBron.
Yes. No! You're not allowed.
Yeah. It's got to be rapid fire.
Okay. It's Kobe or Jordan.
No, really? I changed it.
You did?
Okay, so we got
two
LeBron.
Guys that are retired.
Ching, ching. Okay, West Coast or East Coast?
Ooh, this is a trick question. I'm an East Coast guy. I have to go with East Coast. There are plenty of L.A. transplants.
From Brooklyn, but I was going to say New York or L.A.
But you know what? I found good pizza here. I found good bagels here. The weather's nice.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So what was that, East or West?
I'm an East Coast guy.
But you're going to say, okay.
I'm an L.A. transplant, just like the half of the people that live here. They're from
New York.
But
doesn't New York have, like, the best pizza?
Yeah.
I'm so surprised that you said you found
good pizza. I told you, I'm not going easy on you. Okay, Netflix or YouTube?
Netflix.
Okay. Taco Tuesday or Delivery Pizza Friday?
Taco Tuesday.
Tom Hanks or Tom Brady?
Tom Brady.
French fries or French toast?
French toast.
But he said he was going to say
fries. You were
that
close to being so cool. Yeah. Early bird or night owl?
Night owl.
Handyman or hire a man?
Hire a man.
This is one of my favorites. You win the lottery. Lump sum or annual payments?
Annual payments. I'm 29.
Yes! That's good.
I love it. Also, you get a lot more in the end.
I know. Well, I actually do have one more question for you. Who is the most famous person you have in your phone?
In your phone.
Go.
Ooh. In my phone.
I'm you're in LA. I got to ask you that.
Welcome to LA. Welcome to Hollywood.
I see. This is. I'm so not used to like the LA media.
It doesn't have to be hockey.
It could be Bob Miller.
It could be Bob Miller. He's. I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be hockey. It could be anybody.
Anyone.
I have. How about this? Olympic gold medalist Kendall Coyne.
Oh, nice.
Yes! I love
that. I like that. That was different.
So good. That's this or that, everyone. That's this or that. Thank you, Alex.
That was very good. Alex, so what's next for you? What are you doing this off season or anything? Mm-hmm. Vacation? Anything fun?
A little bit this or that.
Are you getting engaged? I mean, wait, you're getting married this...
Next year.
Oh, next year.
Next year. Where we've decided not to try to rush.
But she moved out, finally.
She's finally here. That's good. Carolyn is situated now in LA, which is nice.
Good.
So I do a little bit of work at Tennis Channel over the hockey off season. So
Serena.
Wimbledon
she's
going
on right
now. She's
about to win that champ.
I've got the next tournament coming up. It's a grass court tournament, Newport, Rhode Island. We work out of Culver City, California. It's right around the corner. Pretty easy to kind of drive over there. Mm-hmm. It's 15 minutes from my apartment. So I enjoy having a little bit of stuff to do over the summer. So I have a couple projects going on with them through early September. And then Kings preseason in September.
Yeah, it comes before you know it.
Might do a little bit of college basketball. Might do a little college football. Kind of just depends on what fits in my schedule. But I try to keep busy outside of hockey just to,
And then no vacay, though?
Yeah.
With you and
not
the girl?
Not yet. We're going to do wedding next year, honeymoon next year.
Okay.
And we'll figure it out from there. But we have a bye week in January right around the All-Star break in hockey, which actually the Kings schedule this year, for whatever reason, they have a 10-day break.
Oh, great.
Between the end of... before the All-Star game, and then when they pick it back up.
That's also nice with Staples Center, because there's so much happening with Grammys and all that.
Exactly. And then they had their Grammy trip right after that. Yeah. So they're on the road. There's like almost a 4-week gap between home games. So we might try to do something around there. But and nothing crazy. We only have so much time.
That's right. During the it's year. A long season.
It is a long season.
People don't realize that it is as long as baseball season,
right?
And longer when you factor
especially
in the
when you go
playoffs.
In the playoffs, yeah. Right? Absolutely. Well, thanks, Alex, for joining us. Yeah. I'm
thank
a fan
for having
now.
Me.
Yeah, it was good. I know. So, and I know I'm normally a Sharks fan because I'm from the Bay. So,
what?
But
she
yeah,
is.
I know.
She is.
You know what? Nobody's perfect.
I know.
But I still kind of root for the Kings.
Yeah.
Since I live in LA.
I mean, they're just all backwards. We've got Sharks and Giants. We've got Clippers, and I don't know.
Sorry.
But thank you. You got to come back maybe, you know, maybe during the season. You can call in or something.
Sure,
yeah, we'd love to have you.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. Another day, right?
Yeah, another
and
day.
I will
we'll
be, I will be
next
here
week.
Next week, so there'll be y'all.
Us too.
Yes.
We'll be right here.
Holding
2 o'clock.
Yes. So thank you for joining us on the Weekly Pass. You can find us at BJL Weekly Pass and find us at all of our individual Twitter, social media. We love to talk sports. And again, we'll be here, these two, next week, and I'll see you guys in 2 weeks. See ya.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.